In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 weight loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 weight loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly, but if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800 or go to awaken180weightloss.com.
Hello and welcome back to episode 4 of the Listen Up Levcast. I'm your host, Salvatore. Now, today's episode is an amazing one as we are joined by former Leavenworth student and now drummer who has toured with Iron Maiden, Foo Fighters, Ocean Size and Circa Waves. It's Joe Lazarus. Thank you for joining me today.
No problem.
So how has lockdown been for you and how has it affected your work?
Well, yeah, it's affected it considerably, really. I mean, my income is touring, so like that was all completely gone in a flash. But luckily I'd just come back from a 7-week American tour just before the first lockdown, so I got back about maybe 5 days before we locked down. So it was like literally a bit of skin in my teeth, really. And then I was kind of looking forward to just chilling out for a bit anyway, so I was like, right, well, if this goes on for a couple of months, you know, I haven't got anything planned. So luckily I've had quite a bit of recording work to keep me going. Been doing some, like, you know, lessons and stuff just to keep me afloat, you know, until everything goes back to normal. So it's been okay. I mean, I'm lucky, you know. A lot of people were in far worse position than me, so I count myself lucky, really.
Yeah, it's obviously hit the music industry quite hard, and hopefully it all gets back up and running soon. How long ago was it when you were a student at Leavenworth, and how was your experience at the school?
Wow, that's a long time ago now. I joined year 2000 and I left 2004.
Oh, yeah.
So, a long time ago. No, it was great. I mean, like, you know, it's a great school, and I was lucky to have gone there. I very nearly went to Mark Hall. But my mum moved us out to Great Little Hallingbury. So I was in the catchment area for Leavenworth. And I didn't know anyone. All my friends went to Mark Hall, and I was really tired because I didn't know anyone. Ended up being the best thing for me because it was a much better school. And I ended up meeting a guy there who played guitar, and we started a little band together, and it kind of really helped, really. So I'm glad. But I was a bit of like a ghost at school, really, and I didn't really have belong to a group of friends as such. I kind of just like spoke to everyone, but kind of people probably didn't realize I was even there. And I just, you know, did my own thing. And then, cause I knew that at 16, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I didn't stay on at sixth form or go to college or uni. I had my, you know, sights set on this, you know, and that was it, really. But no, I have fond memories of the school, definitely.
Yeah, it was that's quite a long time ago, 2004. Yeah. A lot of the people listening were just born.
2003, yeah, oh, mate, don't. That makes me feel so old. God.
So coming on from that, you mentioned that you was already drumming when you was at Leavenworth. How did you actually get into drumming in the first place?
I remember the day I wanted to play drums. My uncle plays in Iron Maiden. He's the bass player, and they were playing a big gig called Donington Monsters of Rock in 1992. So I was 4 years old, it's now called that festival is now Download, but it used to be called. I remember being taken round the back of the drummer's drum kit and this big curtain just like opened, and I sat behind the drummer, and this huge, great big drum kit, which is huge anyway, but to a 4-year-old, it was just monstrous, you know. I just sat behind him, and I just was just in awe, and I remember it so vividly, just being like, that's what I want to do. That's exactly what I want to do. And that was it. I asked for a drum kit for my 5th birthday, and I got one.
Amazing.
And then that was it. I was away. And I never looked back.
And so who was, you mentioned your uncle was in Iron Maiden. So who actually inspired you, and who did you look up to when you started drumming?
Well, it was definitely the Maiden drummer, Nico. How I learned to play was just by watching him. I used to watch videos of him, watch him at gigs, watch what he's doing, and then go and do it myself. You know, like I didn't have any lessons. I just kind of went in for it and just watched, studied him. So it was basically him, that because of him, really.
Mm.
He was my absolute idol. It's a bit odd because obviously, like, because I know him, and like, you know, if I speak to him or whatever on the phone, or he texts me, I'm a bit like, oh, but it's like, it's just weird because not many people get to be friends with their idols, you know?
No, that's true. Yeah.
So, well, part of family, really. He's more than part of family than a friend. But
yeah, and that's crazy. But would you recommend, for someone who wants to get into drum, would you recommend taking lessons or studying a specific drummer?
I think everyone's different, really. It's depending on what come at it. I mean, I personally think that if you're self-taught, you kind of learn at your own pace, and you kind of take things, like lots of different elements of people's playing, in and put it into you, and you kind of come up with your own style a little bit, you know. Whereas if you get lessons just from one person, although obviously you can learn a lot, don't get me wrong, because I don't know any drum theory, I don't know any, I can't read or write music, I don't know any, I literally, to be fair, don't know much about drums. I can play them. It was all kind of just like up here and just feeling, you know. But yeah, if you want to learn, like, you know, to read music and write music, then obviously you've got to get lessons and study it and stuff. But there's many different ways of going at it. But for me personally, I think that, you know, learning, teaching yourself, if you've got the motivation and desire, then, you know, for me, that's the way to go.
So. Yeah. And in 2009, you went on a European tour supporting Oceansize. What was that experience like? And was that one of your first experiences playing in front of a large crowd?
Yeah, it was. I've been in band since I was like 15, really. But before that, it was like we'd all jump in a transit and go and play to no one or an old man and his dog, you know, for years. But then I was 20 or 21 when we did that tour, and that was the first proper, like, on a tour bus and, like, you know, a proper tour. It was the first proper one, and favorite bands, so it was even better, you know. And it was like a strange turn of events that I ended up, I now play for the singer of that band, who now plays in Biffy Clyro now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I play for his solo project, so like another weird, strange, like, I've got like this other favorite band of mine, and then I end up touring with him and then playing with the singer. It's weird. It's very strange.
And from there you grew quite a bit, and in 2010 Drummer magazine gave you a free page feature. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when I was told that I would be a thing. I was just like, what? Like, this is what proper drummers get. Like, what am I doing in there? You know, like, no, it was a real honor, because it's the magazine, you know. It's for drummers, it was incredible. I mean, I would have been happy with them just writing a tiny little 3-word or just, you know, anything. But the fact that I got a free page feature was just mind blowing. I'm very grateful for that.
And did many people contact you after that?
Because, you know, lots of drummers, I mean, I used to buy that magazine and go to WH Smith and buy it, you know, all the time. And then people would be like, oh my God, what, you're in it. And I'm like, yeah, I know, like, what's going on? But I got some good exposure from that, really good exposure. And obviously it's not, I think, think it's not a physical thing. So I was lucky enough to be in at the time where you could get a physical copy of it, you know, yeah. And I still have it now in a memory box somewhere.
Yeah. That's amazing. And so you've been a member of the band Voodoo Six. How did you join them?
It's through my Uncle Steve, really. So, the bass player is an old friend of Steve's. They've known each other for years and years and years. And their drummer was leaving the band, and I just got a phone call from the guy saying, you know, first of all, would you like to just fill in for this tour? Because he couldn't do it. So I went out and did a tour around the UK for a couple of weeks with him, and then a couple of shows in Europe. And then after that, they just basically asked me if I wanted to join. So, and then we went and did an album within a couple of weeks after that. So it was kind of very smooth transition, just like in really. And, you know, they're really nice guys. A lot of fun to tour with, a lot of fun.
And then in 2013, you actually supported Iron Maiden on their 3-month European tour. What was that like?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's kind of something hard to describe, really. It was stuff of dreams, you know, playing football stadiums and arenas for 3 months around Europe. Amazing. Like, and you know, May band is still one of my favorite bands. So I've got to see them 30 odd times or whatever, and then play on the same stage as them. And, some of the crowds were unbelievable, you know, like I think collectively over the tour we played to like 500,000 people or something.
Wow.
It was just it was insane.
Yeah. What was your favorite place to play at?
That's a question. I mean, was like we played the Friends Arena in Stockholm, which is like a big football stadium where when they opened it, England played Sweden. I don't know if you're a football fan, but England played Sweden there, and Ibrahimovic scored like an overhead kick from like almost the halfway line.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we played that stadium, and that was like 65,000 people there.
Wow.
And that's still to this the most people I've played to. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever top that, but like that was pretty. But also, the last show of the tour was the O2 Arena in London.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that had more sentimental kind of like value to it because, we played all these football stadiums and these arenas, like amazing places, but I had no like relation to them because I'd never been there before, never, you know, whatever. But with the O2 Arena, I'd seen so many bands there growing up, you know. Like over the years, and then that was the moment where I was like, oh god, well, this is a bit bizarre. But yeah, so to have actually I've got after show I've got a photo of me playing it up here.
Oh, look at that.
Was pretty special. I'll never ever forget that, just because like I said, you know, when you see loads of bands play there and you're like, oh my god, what would it feel like to be on that stage? And then you do it and you're just like, oh, mental.
And would there be a dream stadium for you to play at?
I mean, Wembley Stadium obviously would be incredible. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would be the dream one for sure. Because I am a football fan as well, home country, you know, who can't top Wembley Stadium, can you, really?
No, definitely not. And who do you support then?
West Ham.
Ah.
Well, I mean, I had both West Ham fans.
You're doing well.
Like Steve. Yeah, I know, we're doing all right, actually. We're doing all right. I'm very happy. But because my uncle Steve used to play for West Ham before he formed Maiden.
Oh, wow.
And all my family are from West Ham, so it was always going to be West Ham.
Of course, you've got to stick to the team.
exactly, yeah.
So you played for Circa Waves as well, supporting the Foo Fighters in Mexico City. That's a pretty amazing experience. How did you find it?
Oh, yeah, that was, again, just one of those things. Was just like, is this really happening? Like, so my friend Colin, who plays drums for Circa Waves, I've known him for many years. We're from kind of the same sort of town. So, he unfortunately fell ill just before that show. And I got a phone call saying, could you fill in for them? And I had to learn, basically pretty much lying over there. And I had like, you know, very little rehearsal with the guys. But it was an amazing experience because, I mean, Foo Fighters, one of the biggest bands on the planet. You
know?
And,
they are,
it was the most crazy weekend of my life because I got the phone call on like the Tuesday or whatever, and I had to fly out there that week and then play the gig. So there was just like thousands and thousands of people there, unbelievable amount of people there. And then, then got to watch the Foo Fighters, and then, like a week I flew, like I went, cause I had to fly out on my own because the band had already been booked on their flights and I was booked last minute. So they booked me on a flight, and I had to go from like Heathrow to Frankfurt in Germany, and then Germany to Mexico City, and we did the gig and like got really drunk then the next morning I flew to New York and then New York home, and my girlfriend at the time, when I got home, she was just like, you're gray, go to bed. Waking up on the Monday going, did that really just happen? Did I just go to Mexico City, play to like 50,000 people and then fly home? What the hell? And then obviously watched Foo Fighters from the side of the stage, and that was special as well. And it was just one of those great. I mean, I'm very thankful and grateful. I've been offered a lot of these opportunities, and I get myself into some pretty crazy situations, but I'm always grateful for them. But yeah, it's something, again, another thing I won't ever forget.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how do you feel before you walk onto a stage?
You've got to be like confident that you're going to do the job. But obviously you always get that little butterfly sensation in your stomach. I think if you don't have that feeling, then something's wrong. You should always have that, you know. I said, you know, even I remember Steve telling me he still gets nervous before a gig. I think you should, because otherwise it's getting the adrenaline going. You know, you're not a robot, and you should do. And I think it makes you play better as well. You know, if you're under a bit of pressure, you'd be surprised what you can do under pressure. So, yeah, I think that it's important to have that feeling, I think, kind of feed off of it.
Do you have anything to prepare yourself before you go out? Anything that you do?
Not really. No, I don't have like a warm up routine, or I should warm up really. But I don't really. I kind of just chill out really. I kind of just, I don't know. I like thinking about it too much before you just kind of go with it, you know. And I like just chilling out before a gig and just, you know, having a chat and stick some music on. And
yeah.
Get into the vibe and then go do your job.
And so you were the drummer for a group in Heaven, which was formed in 2014. But why did it split up 4 years later?
It kind of just ran its course, really. I mean, it was a band at Simon. There was like lots of money being spent on the band, and we were touring nonstop all the time. Just, you know, we toured with, you know, loads of bands, like Circle Waves, band called Blossoms, Jamie T. We played some shows with Pixies, and we just did loads of stuff. We were playing all the festival at Glastonbury and Reading and Leeds, and we did like all of that stuff. We did, went to America, and we were just constantly non-stop touring because we had like a lot of money put in the band. And we did an album, and it did okay. It did pretty well. But the thing with, you know, major labels is that you know what they usually do is they kind of have quite a few bands on the go, and ones that don't quite make the cut, you know, they kind of, unfortunately, it's quite a ruthless industry. Mm-hmm. It kind of just run its course, you know, quite naturally. But I've got very fond memories of that band, and it led me on to other things. You know, I made quite a lot of contacts that got me session work from it. So everything's all good. It's just actually the singer and the bass player have got another project now.
Oh, wow, yeah.
New one, so, but I'm you know, us other two are doing our own thing now, so
yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And what would you say would be your favorite festival that you've played at, and which one would you like to play at?
Oh wow. Favorite would be Glastonbury, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'd never been, and so I broke both as a going and playing. I played it twice within Heaven, the second time we did the John Peel stage, which was very special because it's a big old tent, and and obviously John Peel was like a legend. It's a very legendary stage. And then and that day as well, the Killers did a secret set on that stage as well, so I got to see them, which on the side of the stage, which was amazing. And then the next year, actually, no, that's that same year, it was so bizarre. So stage, which is a huge stage, massive stage. The drummer Colin like texts me a few weeks before the festival and was like, right, I've got a plan. I'm going to get a rubber dinghy and I'm going to like crowd surf on the last song. Can you come and play the last song while I do that? And I was like, yeah, all right. Well, okay. But I didn't really hear anything else from him and I thought he was kind of joking. So got to the festival and was setting all my stuff up or whatever. And he's like, where are you? You know, you hear Kate with all security and everything. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know if you know how to swear. Sorry.
That's all right.
But that's what I said. I was just like, oh my God. Like, and I was miles away. Glastonbury's huge. Like, it's massive. Like, I was miles away like from it. And I literally just had to drop everything I had, run to the stage. And they were going on. And then I just kind of waited on the side of the stage. And then the song T-shirt, whether they were playing, I came on halfway through and took over. And then he went and crowd surfing in the thing. And then it made it onto the BBC highlights of Glastonbury. Just, that was crazy. That was the most bizarre thing ever as well.
That's mental.
yeah. Again, that was weird. I mean, like literally like half an hour before that happened, I was like putting my tent up by the John Peel stage. And then I'm on stage playing to like 40,000 people.
Oh just, my.
Yeah, it was bizarre, but wow. But very fun. Very fun.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And obviously it's documented, you know, you can go on YouTube and watch it, you know, and it's like nice to have that where you can kind of relive it, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah.
And what is your favorite moment of your career so far been?
Oh my God.
It's a lot.
Wow. Oh. Yeah, like I said, I'm very grateful. I've been able to do a lot of really cool stuff and I never take any of it for granted. I suppose the O2 was pretty special. Mm. Playing on an album with one of my heroes, Mike Venart. I did an album with him recently. That was pretty special. I played with my maiden. That was pretty special as well. And I was like told that I was the only drummer to have ever played with them that wasn't their actual drummer. So
wow,
that was quite special. But like I said, I've been blessed like with a lot of great opportunities and a lot of cool stuff. So I won't bore you. I could go on a few more, but I'll leave it at that. I think.
No, you've had an absolutely amazing career so far. It's just been the stuff that you've done. But have you got anything coming up soon? Any projects?
Yeah, I've been doing quite a lot of recording, actually. I just recorded an album for a guy who works for a band called Editors and Ride, a band called Ride. Just did that. I've got a few more irons in the fire recording wise, and then just when we're allowed to tour again, you know, hopefully everyone I usually play ready to go and gagging for it, and I'll go out on the road again, because that's what I really miss. I mean, really struggled with not playing live. I mean, it's why I play drums, you know. Recording's great, I love recording, I do enjoy it, but nothing beats being on the stage and playing and touring and just the whole everything, all the elements are involved in it. It's just, that's why I say, it's why I learned to play drums in the first place. I saw someone doing that and that's what I wanted to do. So I really miss that. But fingers crossed, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully things will improve on that front.
I hope so, yeah. And who would you recommend to listen to who's an up and coming band for the rock industry?
Yeah. Oh man, I mean, there's Led Zeppelin 2 me is like a drumming vibe. I mean, John Bonham is like the rock drummer. I don't care what, you know, that's a drumming bible right there if you listen to the Zeppelin 2 or any Zeppelin really, up to Physical Graffiti as well was another great one. Foo Fighters, Color and the Shape, big rock drumming album. Who else? Oh, there's loads. Those two are like, you know, pretty substantially like important, I think, to rock drumming, definitely. I think those two.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me today, Joe. It's been great to have you on. Absolutely fascinating.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
No, that's no problem at all. And everyone, make sure to check Joe out on YouTube and all these other platforms as well. I hope everyone enjoyed that. And make sure to follow and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. So please stay safe and stay at home, everyone. See you all next time.
In business, you rarely hear the expression for life. You make a purchase for a product, for a service, and there's a time frame there. Well, that's not the case with Awaken 180 weight loss. Allow me to explain. You know, a year ago, I started with Awaken 180 weight loss and had incredible success losing weight. But you can lose all the weight in the world and not keep it off. And what good is it? That's why I have support for life from Awaken 180. Yeah. I mean, I go back for check-ins and make sure everything's going smoothly. But if I ever had a problem, the counselors are there to get me back on track. Why don't you do what I did and call for a consultation? 844-346-1800. 844-346-1800. Or go to awaken180weightloss.com.